Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
I need you, Jesus, and you alone. We put that kind of faith on him. The Bible says we're justified and we're saved. And then Paul says, that's what it took to get in the club, to get on the team, and that's what it takes. That's what's required for you to walk in him every day.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
What a fantastic day to be in the service of God Almighty. I'm telling you what, this is an amazing deal. Jesus Christ is in me. I'm in him. I have been vitally joined together with the only begotten Son of God. And if you belong to him, if you've been saved, if you've been justified, then you are in Christ also. And if you are in him and you are living life the way that God has called us to live, then the Holy Spirit is just unhandcuffed and he's working full out in your life, expressing Christ to you and through you. God is on high. The Holy Spirit is working. Jesus is reigning on the throne of your heart. Man, this is a great deal. What a fantastic deal to be in the service of the King. Welcome, truth seekers. Welcome to Truth Infusion. My name is David Markham, and welcome you into the palatial and comfortable Truth Infusion broadcast studios for another 30 minutes of Bible teaching from Truth Infusion Ministries. And if you aren't familiar with our radio program, then we thank you that you've chosen to come back for another few minutes today. But if you're not, and if you're new to this program, welcome on board. We hope that God will speak to your heart and your life today. In these few minutes that we have together, I want you to know I consider it a great privilege and honor that you would choose out of 100 radio stations or 100 podcasts that you could be streaming and listening to right now, that you would spend time listening to us through Truth Infusion Ministries is an honor. It is a blessing to know that we can be available to you and you would choose to spend time with our ministry. If you want to, you can always learn more about me and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com. Go check out the website. You'll find information about upcoming events and ministry opportunities that may be somewhere near you. At least if you're not near those places, you could be praying for us on those particular days and nights in the churches, the people we're going to be ministering to. And you can also check out what's going on in the other areas of ministry that we have available, the radio ministry. If you go to that page, you will find all of the radio broadcasts. I believe there's 100 or more that are available for free. As the archives are there, you can look through those and find a title or a topic matter that seems interesting to you or something that may benefit you and take a listen to that. It's free, so get a hold of it. Get your friends to listen to it. And you can also check out what's going on with the music ministry and Truth Infusion Worship and our worship band. We are always working on new music and new CD opportunities and worship opportunities and thankful for the guys that have volunteered their time to us. We have several preachers. We have Jason Edge and Chuck Mansell and Tim Lewis and Wes Belk and Kelly Wright, and all these guys are gifted, empowered men of God ready to preach and teach the Word. And pray for us at Truth Infusion Ministries. It's a full-time ministry. And like Tony Evans says, the gospel is free, but ministry ain't cheap. And he says it like only he can say it, but there's some truth to be heard in that. So if you're looking to support the work of God, Truth Infusion Ministries is a nonprofit ministry, and we receive all charitable donations that go straight to to ministry. Nobody receives a salary here. Everything goes right into ministry needs, and opportunities are always there for you to partner with us. So thank you for your prayers and your support and all that you do for us. We're going to continue to work for the Lord and for the truth seekers out there in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for the opportunity to be called into your service. And God, I know that the people that are listening right now need a touch from you, as do I. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would release your Holy Spirit to do a fantastic work in the lives of those that are listening. God, you know what they need, and I pray for them. I pray for them right now that your Spirit would begin to fill the holes in their hearts and their lives and set right those things that are struggling right now. Lord, give them peace. Give them comfort. You've promised us that you would. Lord, take these next few moments and bless it. God, anoint it. Empower it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, okay, here's what we're going to do today. This is kind of the second part of a teaching series that we started last week that I've entitled Mary's One Thing. Mary's One Thing, and if I subtitled it, I guess it would be A Moment with Mary. Now, which Mary are we talking about? We're not talking about Mary Magdalene or Mary the mother of Jesus. We're speaking during this particular teaching series about Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. Important person in the Gospels, important person to Jesus. And we're going to look at a moment in her life today where we see just how important she is to Christ. But we see the life of Mary made known to us in three different times in the Gospels. And let me say that differently. I said that a little bit wrong. Three different moments of Mary's life are highlighted in the Gospels. Now, there's four Gospel writers, and multiple Gospel writers write about these three moments in different times. So it looks like she's brought up several times throughout, but really it's just three moments in her life. And we began to look at this last week by checking out one particular verse from Luke chapter 10. Mary is involved in this verse. But let me read it and make a couple of comments, and then we're going to get into the second moment that the gospel highlights in the moment of this fantastic woman's life. But let me read to you Luke 10:42, which is kind of our theme verse for this teaching. It says this, "But one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part." In other words, Jesus is speaking right here, and he says one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen or figured out or discovered that one thing, that good part, that one thing. And he goes on to say, it will not be taken away from her. Three moments in Mary's life. Jesus begins our look at Mary by saying one thing is needed, and Mary has figured it out. And last week we looked at that first moment chronologically in Mary's life as found in Luke chapter 10 when we're introduced to Martha and Mary. Lazarus is not brought up at this point, but Martha and Mary are. And in that moment of Mary's life, we see Jesus has been invited into Martha's home, and Martha is busy serving. She's in and out. She's taking care of guests. She's cooking. She's cleaning. She's doing all these amazing things to serve Jesus and his disciples. And Mary, though at one time was probably involved in this, has found herself at a bit of a change of position and a change of motivation, and she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word that Jesus is speaking. The word says in that particular verse that Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" And what is she doing? Verse 39 says that her sister called Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Jesus goes on to lovingly correct and rebuke Martha by saying, no, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that one thing. We took that moment of Mary's life last week, and I began to build a little bit of an argument or a case for the fact that we've got to be a people that learn how to seek him with persistence. And we looked at some of the failures inside of a lot of the Christian lives when it comes to our personal devotional time with God. Now, Mary was devoted to the word of Christ in that moment. But most Christians today are not devoted on a regular basis to having a devotional time with the Lord, a special one-on-one time. And many of those that actually do have that time are doing it for the wrong motivation and the wrong reason. And they relegate that moment to a self-fulfilling moment of making themselves feel better about their condition and their position because they're doing a good thing by reading the Bible. And I began to tell you last week, at the end of last week, made a couple of pretty weighty comments. And the first one was this: no one has ever done anything great for God who did not have a great devotional life first. No one ever did anything great for God who wasn't devoted to Him on a regular basis and for the right reason first. Now, how do I know if I'm doing it for the right reason? Well, here's the comment I ended with last week. No one has ever had a great devotional life who was not head over heels in love with Jesus first. Jesus told the church at Ephesus that they had left their first love. He didn't say, "You don't love me." He didn't say you hate me or you've left me out in the cold. He didn't say that your love was gone. He just said that your priorities have changed. There's been a shift in the reason why you're doing what you're doing. And it's not that you don't love me. You just don't love me first anymore. And for the truth seeker that will maintain priorities and love Jesus first, you can guarantee their devotional life will be great. And that person with a love for Jesus first and a great devotional life is a seeker and someone that will seek with persistence. And those are the ones that God knows He can entrust to do great things. We've got to learn how to seek Him with persistence. Now, today we're going to look at a different moment in Mary's life, and it comes in the 11th chapter of John. Very familiar story in the book of John. This is really the chapter that highlights the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. And though Jesus and Lazarus are the main players in the 11th chapter of John, there are a few verses that deal with Mary. And I learned some things about Mary when I began to look and analyze and scrutinize her actions and her reactions in this very difficult and trying moment of her life with the loss of her brother. So we know the story of Lazarus, but let's look at the story of Mary within the story of Lazarus. And I want to read those verses in John chapter 11 because I believe one of the things that Mary shows us about her life that I want to talk about today is this. We have to be a people. Mary was a lady, but we have to be a people that believe in Him exclusively. Mary believed in Him exclusively. And I believe that it's obvious in these verses. Let me begin reading John chapter 11, start in verse 28. This begins with Martha, but quickly transitions to Mary. Verse 28, "And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, 'The teacher has come and is calling for you.' And as soon as Mary heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying that she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and he said, 'Where have you laid him?'" We've got to be a people that learn to believe in Him exclusively. So when I begin to look at this moment in Mary's life, my mind, I don't know if yours works this way, but when I'm reading Scripture like this, my mind begins to play the movie of this moment in my head. And if you look at these verses, we see that this is kind of what this moment would have looked like. Martha and Mary have met on the road some distance away from the house. The people in the house, including Mary, don't know that Jesus is in the area, don't even realize where Martha is. Martha has her moment with Jesus, and then she goes back to find Mary. And she evidently comes to the house, goes into the house. Now, in the house is Mary. In the house is friends and family and likely religious leaders. We know that the religious leaders were there at the tomb, so they're probably there in the house, and they are gathered around Mary and Martha in this time of mourning. They're there to help comfort and support and serve this family who has just experienced this tragic loss. So here they are. They're in the house, and here's Mary and the other Jews, family, friends, religious leaders, they're gathered around. Martha comes to Mary and secretly has this a bit of information to give her. And this is what she simply says. The teacher has come and is calling for you. So that's all Martha gets out. And then we have an immediate and decisive reaction. Because verse 29 says, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and left the house. As soon as it got, I bet Martha barely got it out of her mouth, and Mary has reacted almost reflexively. Before Martha could even get out of her mouth where he is, Mary has hit the road. Now, this says something to me about Mary and where her mind was and what it was that she was longing for. Her brother has been dead 4 days. Now, he's been sick longer than that. And we know that while he was still sick and it became apparent to Mary and Martha that this was not a common sickness, that this was a sickness, we read at the beginning of chapter 11, a sickness unto death, because the messenger comes to Jesus out in the wilderness and says that Lazarus is sick unto death. That's the message that Mary has sent to Jesus. And what is it that they're wanting? Please come quickly. The one that you love is dying. Why did they want for him? Did they want Jesus to get there so that he could tell Lazarus that he loved him before Lazarus dies? Now, when someone calls to me and says, someone's dying, come quickly, I know that's what they mean. We want you to get here so that you can see them before they pass on. But that isn't what they were looking for in Jesus. They don't look to Jesus to come and have some deathbed goodbye. When they're looking for Jesus in this moment, they know the healer is more than capable and able of showing up at the bedside of the sick and the dying, and with one word and a loving look from his eyes, the sickness going away, speaking death to the sickness and life coming back. Instantaneous healing is what they knew would take place if only Jesus could come to where Lazarus was. And so they look for him days before he died. But we read that particular verse in John chapter 11. Go back and look at it where it says, and because Jesus loved Lazarus, he waited 2 more days. Now, you and I couldn't have pulled that off. We would have gotten there as quick as we could. But with Jesus, he knew what was up. He knew not only what was going on at that moment, but what would happen 4 to 6 days from now. He waited 2 more days before he started traveling to Bethany. And by the time he got there, he's 4 days after death. And Mary is in the house, and she's got the loving family that are consoling her and comforting her. She has got friends that have come over to see if they could help around the house and take care of the chores. She has religious leaders there, and they are speaking words of comfort and spiritual words to her. But Mary is so kind, and I'm sure she is very grateful for all of that. But that's not what she's looking for. You see, even in that moment, 4 days later, she is instinctively reacting. As soon as Martha said, the teacher is here, Mary cuts a trail. It tells me this is a very important thing. There was only one thing that she knew that she needed in that moment. She was looking for that thing before he passed away. 4 days later, that's still all she wanted. And when the moment came and Mary knew that all she needed was just down the road, she left all that other stuff behind to get where the answer was. Mary knew this, that what she needed more than anything else was Jesus. So many other good things around her being offered to her, beneficial things, blessings in their own right, but they did not hold a candle to the one thing that she knew she needed, and that was Christ. Mary believed in him above all things. The average Christian today does not understand the following statement I'm going to make. The average Christian today does not understand, really understand this statement, and here it is. Jesus is all you need. That sounds simple. And when I say that, every single one of us that love the Lord and are saved say amen. Yes, He is. I believe it. That is the truth. Jesus is all I need. And though we know it's a true statement, most Christians don't understand it to the point that it manifests itself in reality in their life. Because if we truly, fully, and completely understood that Jesus is all I need, we would never look anywhere else for the answers and the help we need in our life. But if we examine the way we react in moments of need and circumstances and trials and tribulation, our first instinctive reaction to things most of the time isn't to step toward Christ and Christ alone, but is it to look for answers and relief and help in other ways. Good ways, yes. Helpful ways, maybe. Beneficial ways, okay. But if you're not looking to Jesus for all your answers in all situations, then the truth is we don't really understand the statement to the point that it moves our life that Jesus is all we need, or we'd never look for answers anywhere else. You see, the truth is when we look for answers anywhere else, in fact, what we are doing is we are placing our faith on that other thing as the source for your answer or your help. And I'm not just pointing a finger at you where you're sitting and listening right now. This is something that God is working on David with also. But we have a tendency, a knee-jerk reaction, especially in those moments that really catch us off guard, to look for answers and relief in places that are not Christ and Christ alone. And when we're doing that, we're in fact putting our faith on that thing, at least temporarily, showing and proving that we don't have a real life understanding and complete understanding of the statement that Jesus is all I need. And I want to say this. God has never required much on our behalf. He knows we can't accomplish much, if anything. But that which God does require of us, He in fact demands of us. God's demand on your life and my life is very simple, and it's really one thing. God has demanded of us one thing, and here it is. Place your faith in the finished work of my Son, Jesus, for everything that you need. Place your faith in the finished work of my Son, for everything you need. That is God's one demand, one requirement of us, is correctly placed faith. Now, let me give you scripture for that. This has become almost a life verse for me. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Here's what it says. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so here's what that means. Paul says it, the same way that you received Him when you got saved, when He became your Lord and Savior, the same way that you got into relationship with Him at the very beginning, your first step into Christianity, the same way that that happened on day one, moment one, that's how I want you to walk in Him in every day of your life from here on out. The same way you received Him, that's how you walk in Him. So how did we receive Him? Well, here's verse 7, Colossians 2, verse 7. The next verse says, rooted and built up in Him and established in your faith. We receive Him by placing our faith on Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. And when we place faith on Him as the only answer and take faith off of ourselves and say, there's nothing else that will do. I'm dead in my sins. I'm going downhill quickly. I cannot fix me. I need you, Jesus, and you alone. We put that kind of faith on Him. The Bible says we're justified and we're saved. And then Paul says, that's what it took to get in the club, to get on the team, and that's what it takes. That's what's required for you to walk in Him every day. The same kind of faith that saved you is the faith that it takes to exist victoriously every day in your Christian walk. You've got to learn to believe. I've got to learn to believe in Christ exclusively. Nothing else will do. Correctly placed faith will open the floodgates of grace into your life. You know what you need to make it through today? You need grace. You need grace. What is grace, David? Well, here's my simple definition of grace. It is help. You need God's help. I have got to have God's help. Grace is help. When you need peace, you need grace. You need help. When you need wisdom for a moment, you need grace. You need help. When you need patience, you need God's help. So God, give me grace. Joy comes in the form of grace. Power comes in the form of grace. Understanding comes in the form of grace. The right kind of love and the right kind of moment comes in the form of God giving you help. And if you want grace to flood your life, to offer you victory in every moment, no matter what the world or the enemy or your flesh offers you, if you want to walk in victory, you've got to believe in Him exclusively. Just like Mary did on Jesus. She had faith that Jesus was her answer, even 4 days after He was dead. The people in the living room couldn't do it. The Jewish religious leaders there trying to help couldn't accomplish it. But when Martha said, "The teacher is here," before she could even tell Mary where he was, she was on her way to see him because she needed the one and only the one that could fix all the issues and correct all the problems. She had faith on Jesus Christ, and the grace of God was about to validate her faith. For in the moments to come, Jesus would stand in front of a darkened tomb where her brother had laid dead for 4 days, speak his name in power and watch the dead walk out alive. Correctly placed faith will open the floodgates of grace into your life. Without faith on Christ as our all in all, we are relying on ourselves. And if reliance on ourselves was ever going to be good enough, we wouldn't have needed Jesus to die in the first place. But I needed him, and you need him, and I need grace, and you need grace. So why do we believe in anything else? Let's place our faith on him, just like Mary did. She taught us this in her life. Trust him exclusively. Believe in him exclusively. And then watch the grace of God flood into your heart and life. What a fantastic message from a fantastic lady. You come back next week. We'll finish this teaching out as we look in the life of Mary. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.